Blog Talk Radio.
Earthquakes, rain, flooding, and now volcanoes in the midst of Boston marathons. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and I'm broadcasting live from the headquarters of the Greater Boston Convention and Visitors Bureau. You're listening to Focus on Empowerment, and we're bringing you up-to-date live information and activities related to Boston, Europe, the Boston Marathon, traveling, and now volcanoes. Stay tuned. We've got quite a show for you. Hello, this is Carol Copeland Thomas, and I promise to bring you live shows, and we're going to do this as often as possible. Didn't know we have breaking news to share with you also. When I got to this office, people were running around trying to take care of activities. I'm going to bring up a very important person here in this space in terms of hospitality. But first, we want to invite you to go to my website and find out all about the upcoming Multicultural Symposium Series membership plan that you can be a part of, and also the May 6th Empowerment Recognition Breakfast. I'm really excited. It's shaping up so nicely. We have wonderful, wonderful people who we are going to honor. Mona Lisa Smith, who is the Vice President and Director of Community Investments for Citizens Bank. Also, Rafael Torres, he is the president and CEO of Don Quixote. That is the only Hispanic-owned multilingual destination tour company in Metro Boston. And also, Reverend Chenem Tan, who is the director of the Mayor's Office of New Bostonians. Just a great lineup. I'm going to bring a special message on empowered leadership on that morning from 8 until 10 at the Seaport Hotel. Go to www.mssconnect.com. That's mssconnect.com. And you can register and you can get your tickets online, find out all about it. Also, the Multicultural Symposium Series. We just promise to bring you content, information, great programming, all related to multiculturalism, empowerment, global diversity, and leadership. And we are excited about just going around literally the country. We started off with our program in Minneapolis last month, in the month of March, and now we're here in Boston. We have another special live show planned for you at the Seaport Hotel on May 6th, right after the breakfast, and we want to travel around the country just talking about the important issues related to empowerment and other aspects of daily life, both on and off the job. I'm excited now. Let me unmute him, and we're going to bring our first guest on. And he is the Vice President of Media Relations and Tourism Sales for the Greater Boston Convention and Visitors Bureau, Larry Meehan. Larry, what's happening? How are you?
Well, it's an extremely exciting weekend for us in Boston. We're actually going to be hosting the 114th Boston Marathon, and that's always exciting because it's also Patriots Day weekend in Boston. But we have this incredibly unusual situation, as you said at the opening. You know, we thought we'd seen it all, and then woke up this morning. I was up early at 4 o'clock, having been brought, because of the fact that in Europe there was
Larry? Larry, I'm going to ask you to hang up, and you're going to use this phone so that we can talk here, and we won't have this echo, because this is such important news. I know that our listeners are going to want to know all about it, so you could just disconnect yourself.
Will
this
do.
Is technology again. We love this live stuff. Don't worry about it. And here's Larry again. He's going to give us the blow-by-blow account of what's taking place here in Boston, and why should we even care about what's taking place with a volcano that's happening in Iceland?
Hey, thanks, Carolyn. It really is quite something. I was woken up this morning at 4 o'clock because of the fact that we have so many incoming European visitors who come to Boston for the marathon, which is on Monday, April 19th. What has occurred, because volcanic ash is actually very dangerous for flying, what it can possibly do to a jet engine, the authorities first in Great Britain and now through all of Northern Europe have shut down the airports. There is now officially not to be another flight until at least 6 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time tomorrow morning on Friday the 16th. Because of this, the ash from Iceland, from the volcanoes, again, is just has such a high potential that they had to basically ground. Not only England, Scotland, and Ireland, but now most of Northern Europe. This is a big deal for us as the Boston Marathon. I mean, I don't want any family or anyone to have a disruption in their vacation or their business trip to Boston and to the East Coast of the United States. But for us, this is particularly important because with the Boston Marathon, we're actually setting some real records this year. We have now gone from 40 to 50 to actually 70 countries of runners coming from literally all of Europe, of every country in Africa, Asia, coming, and they come earlier than Monday the 19th because of the fact that they want to get here and they are right now grounded.
Well, we have so much to talk about. I'm also going to see if Toshiba Bowden, who we're going to talk to a little later on, let's see if we can put this on speaker so that we can do this a little better. So do I just have to push speaker and can I? All right, let's see if we can hear. Do I need to hang up or not hang up?
No, that's it. That's
okay.
Good.
Hopefully we can. Hopefully you can hear us as we talk here in the conference room. Again, this is a live program, and we are talking with Larry Meehan, first of all, about what's taking place here with the volcano that's happening in Iceland. Just amazing. I'm going to ask maybe Toshiba, if you can make sure that we're able to hear each other and you can hear us, that would be great. So, Larry, tell us more about the runners who have to come. Their bodies have to get adjusted to the altitude, the temperature. You're here, and so you just can't fly in and do 26 miles and then fly out.
Right.
It's just not possible to do that.
Most of us would find it rather challenging to run 10 miles, let alone 26.2. But this is something that people train all over the world, and they all want to come to run the Boston Marathon. It is the oldest in the entire world, the Boston Marathon. This is the 114th year. They call it the Boston, and they come from Kenya. They come from Japan. They come from Canada. They come from as close as the next town from Boston to Brookline, where the marathon goes through. They come as far away as Siberia.
Wow, really?
This is the ultimate international event. And the reason they have to come to Boston early for two reasons. One, this is spring in Boston, and spring in Boston can mean anything. Last week it was 75 degrees. It was like a beautiful day in the summer.
Yeah, it sure was.
There's other days where
it's like 18.
18 degrees. And the funny part is that a cooler day, a cooler overcast day, is actually a great day for running.
For running, yeah.
But I have a 500,000 visitors, spectators along the route that would like it to be a beautiful summer, sunny day.
That's right.
But the important thing on Monday is the runners. Mm-hmm. And so runners have to come here a little bit early so that they can get used to, accustomed to the climate, to the sun or the lack of it, the rain or the lack of it.
Right.
And
the connection that we have, having gone to Kenya there a couple of times, and knowing that the runners in Kenya are so important for our listeners, you said, okay, why are you talking about this?
Yeah,
well,
I see.
If you fly British Airways or many of the other airways, you have to go from Nairobi to Heathrow Airport and then to Boston. You can catch a direct flight from Heathrow to Boston. So, again, if you've got a volcano in Iceland that's erupting all of this ash, the planes can't fly. The route goes from the UK here to Boston. I mean, it's just, the airspace, I guess, in the UK has not been closed, but it's been limited. So anyone who is coming from that part of the world is going to be affected by what's happening in Iceland.
And you have to understand that whether you're coming from Kenya, one of the most the largest number of runners, Japan, large number of runners, this is a life dream. This is the Olympics. In fact, the Boston Marathon is the Olympic qualifying race when it's an Olympic year.
Right.
This is the big one. And Boston is a very unique place. Any other places we were talking about earlier, the New York Marathon, the London Marathon, all the great marathons, they're on flat land.
Right.
In Boston.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, absolutely. In Boston, because we're the oldest, and we go back to a Victorian time where the judges had to be able to go and be present in advance of the runners, we actually created a route in Boston that is 26.2 miles, but it's west of the city where there is slightly rolling hills. But the judges, you see, have to precede the runners by train. So the whole
was a train route.
Oh, very much. To get from Hopkinton, Massachusetts to Natick, Massachusetts, to that rail stop, then from Natick to Newton, and then from Newton to Brookline, and then Brookline into Boston to the old train yards where we're actually sitting now in the Boston's Back Bay where the finish line of the marathon is.
Well, see, that's why I wanted Larry Meehan on, because, I mean, he has an encyclopedic brain. He knows so much history, and he's the vice president of media relations and tourism sales here at the Greater Boston CVB. So he's able to really mix the old and the new and make it relevant, as you're doing now.
Thank you. But, I mean, I think, and this is why, again, the Bureau is so pleased to have you on our board and to have the incredible progress that the Multicultural Committee has made over the last 15 years. It's been amazing, Carol, because I think the awareness that this committee has been able to support the Bureau to not only look at multiculturalism as a life view,
right,
but what we've been able to do to attract even more people to enjoy the history of Boston, which is a world history, and whether it is through these, what we always call the great universals, sports,
right?
You know, these are the places where we finally, you know, the people are able to become brothers and sisters because of their tremendous, the excitement that comes from competing in sports, in achieving in sports. It's the reason why in music. I am so very, very proud that part of the Boston history in the 1950s was when Dr. King attended Boston University to become to get his doctorate. He met a wonderful woman who was going to the New England Conservatory studying music, whose name was Coretta Scott King.
Right.
And the more you learn about these contemporary stories, these stories of 100 years ago, and you learn about sports, and you learn about music, and you learn about how far we've come as a nation, as a world, and how we're very often, when we compete in sports, we understand each other better. When we hear music, and then also one of my other favorites that we always talk about, when we sit down to a meal.
Yes.
Oh, that's one of the best places in the world to go and discuss.
And I'm doing a whole blog series on the ceremony of meals, because I know how important it is. And, I mean, you brought up some very relevant points, and one of the things, I don't sugarcoat anything. Some people have real concerns about Boston and if it's a city that fosters racism.
Right.
We just had a Tea Party rally that took place in Boston yesterday. I think a lot of those people were bussed in from other areas, even though their projected numbers are up to 5,000, but I think a whole lot of them were not from here. But people are really concerned, you know, should I come there if I'm a person of color?
Right.
But what's in it for me to come to Boston? I know I have my answer, and having actually hosted the National Black MBA Association in 1995, they're still talking about that conference and how successful it was, and how it was really an eye-opener for a lot of people who had preconceived notions about the Boston of 1974 and 5, and what Boston was like. That was 15 years ago, and the advancements are certainly even more so now in the year 2010.
I think there is absolutely no way that anyone can be convinced about whether one is welcome or not, or what a place is truly like through the silver screen of movies, or the television news that's often sensational. The best way to learn about a place is to visit it.
Right.
This is one of my favorite speeches of Colin Powell, was that he thought the true path to world peace was travel. The way in which we break down barriers is when people, and whether it is through the Boston Marathon, whether it is through coming to Boston, many people of color may not be aware of, in the downtown section of Boston, in one of the most beautiful areas called Beacon Hill, you have the oldest standing African American black church in America. This
correct.
In Boston.
Right.
And they are not aware of this history. But when they walk that trail, and I'm very excited.
You're talking about the Freedom Trail.
I'm actually talking about the Black Heritage Trail.
The Black Heritage
Trail. Because
trail.
There is the Freedom Trail, which is very multicultural.
Right.
I could talk about that for hours. But you should understand that this October, on October 10th of this year, we will celebrate the 30th birthday of a national park site that you may or may not have know about, called the African American Heritage Site in Boston, which we know here locally, if you have walked it as many times as I have, at the Black Heritage Trail,
right,
at the Museum of African American History. This is amazing. There's 13 national parks in Greater Boston, and they're wonderful. They're everything from Longfellow's House, where Washington took control of the colonial troops. There's the Boston Harbor Islands. There's Lowell. But there's the Museum of African American History and the Black Heritage Trail. This is the African American Historic Site. And this is one of the most beautiful and, I think, stirring places to go and learn about the African American history of the 19th century, to learn about Massachusetts as the first state to abolish slavery.
Right.
This is very, very important. So in terms of, is there a welcome mat out? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a welcome mat out for history? Yes. But maybe not all of the listeners are, well, I'm not sure about history. Well, then I invite them to come here for a sports event.
Mm.
I invite them to come here whether they want to enjoy, and we all in Boston love the Red Sox, the Boston Celtics.
And what you're saying, Larry, is that there's something here for everyone.
I have learned it's not only through the heart of a man, it's through its stomach. I will tell you that there isn't anything better than to come to Boston to one of our beautiful heritage cultural festivals and not only learn about the history, but also enjoy the food that you can enjoy. This summer, we're hosting the 37th Festival Bétance. This is a wonderful celebration of the struggle for independence for Puerto Rico, which is now part of the United States. This will allow you not only to have an amazing amount of wonderful food, Puerto Rican food in Boston's South End, but to walk around the South End. And
have
again,
some
this
great
is,
plantain, too.
Oh, God. And this is just blocks away from where we are doing this special broadcast.
And see, I told you that Larry, he has an encyclopedic brain. His notes are on the table. He's not even looking at his notes. He's talking from his head because he has this information cold.
I enjoy and I, again, want to invite any mothers and fathers out there who want to bring their family to show them a very special America, to come to the South End and to learn about the Latin American culture, to take a tour by a group, wonderful group called My Town, in which it's high school. These are high school students who are leading a tour,
a walking tour
of their own neighborhood. It's very, very exciting.
Yeah.
And this is very exciting. The deep history of the South End, the beginning of the whole jazz movement. It's just really wonderful. But then to go to come this summer, because Festival Bétance is in July. Mm-hmm. Come in August, because I want you to see the Harvest Festival, the Thanksgiving Festival of the Chinese. Actually, the whole Asian American.
Is that the August Moon?
August Moon Festival is on August 15th.
And we should also say that this Chinatown is, I believe, the third oldest in the country?
Third oldest and arguably the fourth or third largest.
And one of the few that is actually occupied by Asian Americans who physically live in Chinatown. Oftentimes in some cities you'll have a mock Chinatown or an area where people lived and then that's been turned into a tourist spot.
Right.
But people physically live in Chinatown here in Greater Boston.
In fact, they're doing the August Moon Festival is a wonderful Asian event, Asian American event, but it's a wonderful story. By coming here on Labor Day weekend, you may not be aware of this, but because of past not at all welcoming events, the Chinese Exclusion Act in 1882, which kept Chinese from coming into the United States, and ultimately, although there was immigration allowed, it was mail only, so the Chinese man could not bring his family until ultimately the middle of the 20th century.
When they finally became citizens around the world, the World War II is when they actually could become citizens of the United States.
And so during this time, during these incredibly troubled times, again, the Chinese immigrant, for the most part, had jobs in construction, though there was very big difficulties there. Chinese laundries, Chinese restaurants, and very rarely was there any time off. It's only with Labor Day and Labor Day weekend that you have a time when people of Chinese descent are allowed in each of their Chinatowns to take a break. Hmm. And so there's an incredible event that happens in Boston every 10 years. It was actually invented here. We'll be celebrating the 66th. There's a volleyball tournament,
really,
which pulls together all of the nine Chinatowns of North America. This is the American Chinatowns plus Toronto. And they have an amazing event. This year it'll be attracting 90 separate teams.
My goodness.
1,000 different players where they come and they play.
And will they come here to Boston?
They are coming to Boston.
Wow.
Where we will close down streets, drill holes in the streets so that these 90 teams can compete and play their own version. It's a Chinese-American volleyball tournament. This is a special nine-man ball, nine-woman ball that was invented in 1941. They go to a different Chinatown every single year. This is Boston's big year.
Hmm.
So Labor Day weekend, come in Boston. Even if you're just coming because we're a wonderful place to eat and to listen to music, just an incredible event.
That's
And then when you go back to June, of course, this will be our fourth celebration in Massachusetts of Juneteenth.
Right.
But this year, a whole special week devoted to Roxbury mm-hmm. in June. And I think, again, I would love for any of your listeners, if you go on to our website, which is very easy to remember, it's www.bostonusa.com, very easy to remember, .com.
Mm-hmm. So repeat it again for those who are listening.
BostonUSA, one word, .com.
Sure, www.bostonusa.com.
Because all of these, there's now actually more than 35 different cultural heritage festivals that are occurring. And they're all on the website.
Mm-hmm.
Or make it real easy, since if you're at your computer right now, you can do a quick email to us. Visit us. Pretty easy to remember. Visit us at BostonUSA.com, because we have a brand new travel planner with it, which has all the summer events information and all kinds of great deals for hotels. And we'll shoot that right back out to you as well.
So in the subject line, you can say probably summer events?
Summer events, but since the Visit Us goes right to our visitor services people,
mm-hmm.
who actually still, we have a very unique thing here in America and in the Boston Convention Visitor Bureau, we actually still answer our phone. So
I even
have a toll-free number to give you, which is, and this one does require you to stop and write this down, because the world has changed in the last 15 years, and I'll explain that comment in a minute. But first, our toll-free number, and this is anywhere in North America, anywhere in Canada, anywhere Central America, North Mexico, the Virgin Islands,
mm-hmm.
And it's 1-888-733-2678. Now, I should tell you, Carol, we thought we were very clever about 15 years ago.
Now, give that number again. Give it
it's
again.
1-888
yes
733 2678. And if there's a few of you who still have an old-fashioned telephone,
okay,
you'll know that that spells 188 C Boston, S E E B O S T O N. But as my two sons tell me, no one except dinosaurs in the Jurassic age have an old phone anymore with the letters on it. So I completely appreciate that you have to stop and write that down.
Right.
But it's great, because during Eastern Standard Time regular business hours, we have some very wonderful and friendly people who will pick up that phone and love to tell you about Roxbury Week, Festival Bétons.
There's just an awful lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you've given us, you've packed in a lot of information,
starting off, first of
all, with the volcano situation.
It's serious,
Are we talking probably a couple of days?
It could be very difficult, why I bring this up is because it really is for so many people, though they may come every year or every other year. This is a dream trip.
Of course it is.
Who come, who want to run what they call
the Boston. And we're talking about the marathoners who are coming from all over the world.
Really.
And again, and Europe is a stopover place,
right.
And so here you have various European countries who are grounded. They've gone home.
Yeah.
I saw on BBC they've just gone home, and they're hoping that the ash will clear fast enough for the planes to take off in the next couple of days.
It does seem incredible in terms of what we've seen in the last 2 years.
Yes.
In terms of
earthquakes, floods, rains, volcanoes, marathoners, etc. Just is just an amazing experience. What's on the horizon for Larry? I mean, you've been doing this job for a long time. Again, all the knowledge that's there. What do you see? I'm so glad that you're using a BlackBerry now.
Oh.
A long story and email it. I remember the time when you didn't do that. So.
Well, what's funny about that, and you know it, I do love my history. Next year we will be celebrating some special birthdays, and you may not know this, but it'll be the 40th birthday here in Boston. This is where we invented email.
Oh.
This is not only where we invented in 1876 the telephone,
phone, right?
With Alexander Graham Bell,
yes.
A great Scot American, but that we invented email 40 years ago.
Ah.
It will be the 150th birthday of the MIT, which has been so, and I mean, that is my, the other area that I'm so excited about.
We really
about.
Haven't talked about education.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what brings people to Boston
and
so often.
And so many people from so many different cultures, so many different languages, for many people arriving not only in America, but arriving in the world, 18 years of age, you know, they come to Boston, Carol, it's wonderful.
Take over the world.
This is where, because you see, very often they've come from a place where they were the star.
Right.
And you arrive in Boston, and you're amongst many hundreds of thousands of stars. But they often, there is a feeling here in Boston of possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why many people, I know they might have concerns, about, well, what about the past of Boston? I don't remember Boston feeling that welcoming when I saw it through the TV screen or through movies or
mm-hmm.
through some other means. Come here and meet the 250,000 college students who
mm-hmm.
arrive every year
right.
and see why not only did our First Lady attend Harvard Law School,
that's right.
but there's that other very nice man I'm very excited about,
that
the President of the United States, who also came here and has a very special place in his heart.
Yes.
And it's the other reason why I think Carol, you and I, Toshiba, and so many of us are so pleased that the Obama family chooses every single August
to come to Martha's Vineyard. And I actually have a picture of Barack Obama when he was at Harvard Law School that was taken by the photographer who will be at the Empowerment Breakfast, Sandy Middlebrooks. He has probably one of
Fantastic.
The only pictures that was taken around 1990, 1991. You have given us just a wealth of information. Just want to say thank you so much to Larry Meehan, who is the wealth of information. He's the Vice President of Media Relations and Tourism Sales at the Greater Boston Convention and Visitors Bureau. Larry, you may want to have one more word to say, because I know you've got to pop off and deal with these other issues of trying to get people here. You've got the marathon that is going to go on regardless of who's here.
The press conference.
Right. But Larry's going to give us one closing thought about his job and the significance of Boston.
Oh, thank you. Hey, I would just like to take the opportunity, if you are listening to this, whether it is today or several days from today, to please, this is a welcome. This is an invitation to come and visit Boston this summer. It's a very special place, and I speak as both a parent, as a father of children, as well as someone who has had so many great friends come from all over the world to enjoy the celebration of liberty that does exist in Boston. So again, just hit the bostonusa.com website and count this as your invitation to come this summer.
I love it. Larry Meehan, thank you so much for being a guest on the program and for all that you do for the city, and just you are probably the best cheerleader we have. And good luck, as you've got a busy weekend coming up, too. Yes, all right, thanks so much. Larry Meehan, who is the Vice President of Media Relations and Tourism Sales here at the Greater Boston CVB, and I always learn something even sitting up here. I didn't realize this is the 40th anniversary of email having been invented at MIT, so that's news to me, so you can always learn something new, and that's what I love about radio and interviewing individuals. We're going to take just a quick break and
Again, welcome all of you who are listening in our chat room. Thank you so much. I know we have some visitors who are listening on the in the chat room. I hope you are enjoying the show. We hope that going forward that you'll sign up with Blog Talk and you can converse with me and our guests while we are on the air. Also, want to invite everyone to go to my website and find out more about the upcoming Empowerment Recognition Breakfast. This is the 18th breakfast that I've had in the last 10 years, and I'm just so excited about the people who I'm honoring. I'm excited about the leadership keynote address that I'm going to be delivering at the event and all of the other gatherings of people who have a chance to network together and make new friends and do deals and all of those kind of things for the community, business professionals, and government officials who will be attending that event. Go to mssconnect.com. That's www.mssconnect.com, and you can find out all about it, and you can find out more about the Multicultural Symposium Series and the other activities that we have scheduled going forward. Well, I promise to bring you each week a little history, somebody who is significant, and I thought I'd select somebody who lives right here in the greater Boston area, very quiet, unassuming man, but he is such a giant in terms of what he has done in his lifetime. He's now retired, but I always try to pay tribute to people like this because you may not know him by face or sight or his name, but he has contributed so much to humanity. World traveler, medical expert, and compassionate soul, Dr. Chester M. Pierce is an example of how Black history can be found right here in Boston. A pioneer in the field of psychiatry, Dr. Pierce has contributed to medical research throughout the world, taught at Harvard University, and is one of a handful of human beings who has actually visited all seven continents. His polar research to the Arctic and Antarctica has helped NASA as they identify which astronauts will travel into space. Dr. Pierce is a special person in my congregation. We see him on Sundays and think about his quiet, reserved composure, masking the greatness that he has brought to the world. You can read about him in Ezra Griffith's book, Race and Excellence, My Dialogue with Chester Pierce, a man of eloquence, grace, courage, and wisdom. Chester M. Pierce is one of Boston's finest example of why Black history is American history. And this is Carol Copeland Thomas, and I always say that empowerment begins when you believe in yourself. Well, we are having an exciting time. I am sitting in the conference room of the Greater Boston Convention and Visitors Bureau. Want to do a real big shout-out to Pat Mascarotola, who is the president and CEO of the Bureau. He is a real champion for multiculturalism and diversity issues. He has headed this Bureau for a number of years, invited me to serve as the chair of the Multicultural Committee, and it's just been delightful just to see the real commitment move forward and the kind of meetings that we have brought to the city. Now, you've gotten just a macro perspective of what is taking place here in Boston with Larry Meehan. And now we're going to shift gears and bring to our microphone two wonderful professionals who are also giving their all for the city of Boston and the region. We first want to welcome to the airwaves Toshiba Bowden, and she is the Director of Housing Services and Special Projects for the Greater Boston Convention and Visitors Bureau, and also Michael Munn, who is the Chief of Staff and Director of Business Development for the Boston Convention Marketing Center. I'm going to have Toshiba to move up because we're going to share the microphone, and I'll have Michael to move over as well. He's going to sit right over here, Michael, if you can just move over so we can hear everybody. But I just welcome them because they have a ton of information. Yeah, I just an organization I belong to, I just read their convention brochure, and they very nicely explain why you need to have a housing bureau. That's always, people are saying, well, why can't I just go online and just go for it and get the cheapest room possible? I don't know why you have to have a housing bureau. So I'm going to probably pose that question to Toshiba. Why do you need to have a housing bureau? And Toshiba, welcome to the show.
And thank you, Carol, and hello to all of your listeners out there. And I would say the importance of actually having a housing bureau is to ensure that you actually, you know, get a good rate, so to speak. Within the convention facility in the city that you're attending, you want to make and at the same time you're also able to assist the organization in their overall future bookings to that city. So, you know, it's important to, you know, support the organization that has done all of this pre-work for you and making sure that you actually have a place to stay when you visit the city for the convention or the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, it kind of takes away that the question of, well, where am I going to be at?
Mm-hmm.
Because most times the association or the group has already identified the hotels that are willing to work with you, that are going to be supportive and receptive to their attendees, and that are closest to the meeting facility.
So I guess what you're saying is that the association, the meeting group or whatever, they've done the advance work, and they've almost, in good faith, worked with
yes.
a bureau like the Greater Boston Convention and Visitors Bureau in planning out a conference, making sure that people come and they arrive and they'll have a place to sleep. And so the expectation is that the attendee would then go through the housing bureau so that the numbers would be met and the arrangements would then fulfill themselves, if I should put it that way.
Exactly. And also it gives the organization and even the city the opportunity to see the true value of that meeting or that conference.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the attendee chooses to stay at a hotel that's not in the original room block, there's no way for us to be able to learn, you know, the true number of,
right.
of who was really staying at that hotel, because that other hotel property is not necessarily cataloging or, you know, pegging their room as a part of this conference. For them, it's considered just a regular transient or visitor room.
And certainly the larger the conference, the more significant it is to have a housing bureau.
Yeah.
And in cities like Boston, when you have upwards of 10, 15,000 people, you want to make sure that everyone has a place to stay once they get off the airplane, the bus, their cars, or however else they've gotten here.
No question. I mean, we have a lot of large groups coming in, multicultural groups coming in 2011, two of them being National Urban League and also Blacks in Government.
Those are big conferences, too.
And they will have housing bureaus. And, of course, we're going to encourage their attendees to stay within the room block.
Yes.
Because, again, it only helps the organization when they look to rebook a city or even take that meeting to another city. They can show how much money is being generated, how valuable their meeting is, how many, you know, rooms are being utilized in the city.
And you know what I'm going to do, and I'll do this offline once we end our show. I'll show you. This is actually the convention brochure from my sorority, Delta Sigma Theta. And for the first time, and I've gone to conferences for years, but they did a really nice job of explaining why you have to have a room block and why you have to have a housing bureau. And said, oh, I never thought about all the costs associated and how the relationships are so important in terms of the people who are there. Now, you know, Toshiba, you have, and then I'm going to bring Michael on the call, on the interview as well. You have an interesting set of letters after your name. You went to school for this. I went, I believe, at UMass Amherst, and you have CMP after your name. What does CMP stand for?
Well, CMP stands for Certified Meeting Planner. So I actually, after a number of years, actually being here at the Convention Bureau,
and kind of gaining the experience, you know, within the field, and then also taking along with me the educational pieces to it, and also the and some other qualifying factors. I was able to sit for an exam, and so it's a certification process. And so once you've been able to meet all the criteria so that you can sit for this, I think it was a 2 or 3 hour long exam.
Right.
Then, you know, if you essentially get enough points or answer enough questions correctly, then you
then
are
you can...
able to use that designation. But it it actually, what it does is it shows value. It shows that, you know, you kind of know a little bit about what you're talking about.
And it gives you more credibility as well.
In some instances it does.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean that someone without the CMP designation doesn't know what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
because, of course, someone that has been, you know, working in the hospitality field for, you know, 20-plus years.
They're going to know the business.
They're definitely going to know, and
true.
That's way before the CMP was even developed.
Right.
And
so the bureau,
it came about,
a bureau like this would have probably a mix of people who
exactly.
have their designation and those who are in executive positions
yes.
who may or may not, but it probably just lends itself well to those who are in the industry. And Michael Munn, you are the Chief of Staff and Director of Business Development for the Boston Convention Marketing Center. You share this space with the Greater Boston CVB, and tell us about the facilities that you're responsible for, and then you're like an ambassador. You go out there and sell the city to various organizations in anticipation of them coming here and bringing their conventions and their business here.
That is correct, Carol. We are the Boston Convention Marketing Center is the promotion, marketing, and sales arm of the Mass Convention Center Authority. And therein, we are responsible for the population of the state-owned facilities, the Heinz Auditorium,
okay.
the Boston Convention Exhibition Center.
Okay, that's the new one that
that's
was built.
The new,
in,
one.
Well, new one as of
2004. That's
mm-hmm.
correct. And the Mass Mutual Center in Springfield.
Okay.
So, with that responsibility, as Chief of Staff, I'm responsible for the business management, and as you so eloquently put it, being the ambassador for developing business or bringing business to Boston, primarily for the multicultural associations and events that we would like to introduce Boston to.
Mm-hmm.
We have an opportunity to go out and speak
and
to
sell
those
the
groups
city.
And sell the city,
and,
sell
and,
the destination.
Right, and typically your lead times, you know, those we're talking about the courtship,
mm-hmm.
the relationship that's established, can be somewhat long. It can be sometimes a couple of years before an organization would actually bring their conference to the city.
That's right. We actually have some events on the books that are as far out as 2020.
Wow.
2024.
10 years.
At least. But,
and that's because
that's,
a lot of these organizations plan that far in advance. So they have conventions every year or whatever, so they have designated cities. And so it's Michael's job to go out there and convince them that Boston has the housing inventory, has the facilities, has all the ambiance, the transportation needs can be met so that the next time there's an open date, they will bring their meeting to our city.
A lot of those, actually right, Carol. Most of these, a lot of these companies or associations, these groups, will do their planning years in advance.
Right.
And depending on whether it's an annual event or a biannual event or a quadrennial, the AME conference is
mm-hmm.
a quadrennial, so they may do their planning 3 events in advance, and if it's every 4 years, then we're talking 12, sometimes 16 years
gotcha.
Out from
right.
From the date of the current event.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not unusual, and it's a long-term, long process.
Hmm. And what's so important, too, those of you who are listening, and you may or may not know a lot about the hospitality industry, but the important thing is that when you have decision makers who are association leaders or company leaders, and if they represent a constituency that includes a lot of diverse people, when you're interfacing with a city and when you're interfacing with a bureau like the Greater Boston CVB and those professionals like Toshiba with the letters after her name, name and Michael with the ambassador, et cetera. You want to see people of color in key positions. And it's not a requirement, but it's almost like an unconscious stamp of approval when you have, and Toshiba and Michael are both African Americans, obviously well experienced in their positions. But when Michael is out on the road and when he's talking with various representatives, or Toshiba, you're dealing with the housing needs, it's like a comfort, like, I represent XYZ organization that has XYZ number of people of color who are a part, and it's just nice. It's a nice feeling, and it's a level of assurity that my needs are going to be met. Does that make sense, Toshiba or Michael? They're just like, let me think about that one.
Yeah, only because I feel that, you know, certainly I would hope individuals are not looking at the color of my skin to show validity in what I'm discussing or speaking. In a sense, when I do meet with multicultural groups or multicultural planners and they realize that I am African-American, because you can't tell it actually by my name.
Right.
And so when they actually do meet me face-to-face, some of them, they're, you know, it's more of, because the conversation we have prior to our meeting, they are a little bit more comfortable, certainly, mm-hmm. because then the question is, well, where can I go, and if it's a female, for instance, well, where can I go and get my hair done?
Right.
Or I'm looking for, you know, a really great soul food place, or I want to hear some good jazz.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, in a sense, they do have that.
It's a connection.
Yeah, they're able to say,
it's
okay,
a cultural,
you know what,
connection.
Maybe you will know.
Mm-hmm.
You will know where I can go, or if it's a Hispanic or Latino meeting planner, because I do have a Latino background, they may ask me for some place to actually go and get, you know, really good platanos or some other Spanish dishes that are out there. So it's, you know, it helps. And of course, within our office and in our organization, multiculturalism is definitely at the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
Our president and CEO, Pat Moscatello, it's a driving force for him. Multiculturalism is important. We want to showcase the diversity of the city. It's something that's talked about in our. I'm actually a member of the Convention Services team here at the Convention Visitors Bureau. So we talk about diversity often. It's within our sales meetings. I know Michael on his sales team, they discuss it, because our goal is to definitely show that Boston is not just for one set or group of people, but it's inclusive. It's for everyone,
right.
And it starts even with our mayor.
Mm-hmm. And certainly, and even Kathy Doran, who is the vice president of membership, when this whole website, www.bostonusa.com, was redeveloped, we were an active part
exactly.
in helping and advising her team in terms of things that should be put in place with the website. So it certainly has been a team effort, and probably the same thing, Michael, with your agency as well.
Well, because I live here and because I'm here, so I know the diversity of the city, but
right.
Boston, being Boston.
And you're a Bostonian.
I'm
both of you are
Bostonians,
right?
Raised,
yeah.
schooled, married,
yeah.
everything here in Boston. So I know the diversity of the city. In
right.
fact, within a 2-square-mile radius of where we sit right now, there are, I believe, 140 languages that are spoken.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I mean, it's really a truly diverse
right.
city.
And almost a minority-majority city now,
just
close
about.
To it.
It is, not almost, it is.
It is, yes.
It is,
yeah.
in fact, a minority-majority city. Now, because of the perception, and we don't hide from it because it is out there, that Boston is not as... The perception is that Boston is not as culturally, multiculturally diverse as some other cities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not necessarily true.
No, it's not.
We need to work a lot harder than, say, a D.C. or in Atlanta
or even New York. With 140 languages and a school system that now is definitely representative of the ethnic flavor of the city, we have a mayor, Mayor Menino, who is very culturally sensitive. He created the Boston World Partnership. He created the Mayor's Office of New Bostonian, and I'm actually going to be honoring Reverend Tan. So he gets it. He understands it. And so we're just working really hard as part of the Multicultural Committee to continue to chip away at the perceptions that are here. Now, we know we have flare-ups. We have things that happen. We had Skip Gates, the situation that happened this summer, and I just wanted to pull my hair out when the episode took place with the police officer who came to his house and he got arrested and all that. Those kind of things stay with you a lot longer than you want them to, which means that our work as members of this professionals community and with the Multicultural Committee, we have to work that much harder to convince people that this city really is the happening place.
We are a large media outlet, so anything that happens in Boston is going to be magnified more so than somewhere else of a lesser media presence. So, you know, we have to deal with that. That's part of who we are. With that said, I think that we do a very good job in terms of providing information to those groups that we're looking to bring in. As Toshiba mentioned, that we have the Urban League is coming. They
That's
haven't been
big.
Here in 38 years.
Wow.
Blacks in Government, BIG, has never been here.
Wow.
So
and hats off to Michael. Hats off to Michael, because Michael worked it. He works with his team, his boss, with the CVB, so clearly it's a team effort.
It
but,
is a concerted effort.
It is. But, I mean, what you've done, certainly the weekend discovery in Boston that you have in November is certainly a big help.
Mm-hmm.
You've done that for a number of years. We have a number of fundraisers and galas and organizational events that people can experience once they come here. There's always something to do in the city. There's just always something happening that's going on here.
And so there is our reason for doing this, because if we would be remiss if we did not make this resource, and I like to refer to this as a resource,
mm-hmm.
to all of those groups out there that may not have Boston on their radar,
mm-hmm.
but may also not realize that their events, their conferences, could do so well in Boston because of the resources that are available to them.
So true.
Right, well, I'll actually give an example. The Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity just recently met here. Their Eastern Regional Conference just met here at the end of March, and they were considering actually going to another city, and this was a few months ago, and we finally were able to convince them that, no, you want to have your conference in Boston. Your attendees will have a good time.
Right.
And they came and had amazing attendance and had a good time. And so it's just kind of showing you that, you know, even if you have never really thought about coming to Boston, or perhaps you're just curious. It's one of those cities that you always meant to come to visit and never really made it an opportunity. We have so many very slight. Larry's not here, so I don't have an encyclopedic, you know, memory.
You're doing okay,
in terms
though.
Of how many airlines or how many flights are in and out of the city. But I will say just about every single major airline has a flight through the city, a nonstop, and we just picked up about five or six other airlines, new airlines, that are now coming in nonstop. And so essentially, no matter what part of the country you are in, you can come and visit Boston. And our hotel rates are competitive. You can, of course, you're going to find, you know, those higher-end properties, but you'll also be able to find a nice bed and breakfast somewhere, or, you know, or even to be able to stay at a guest house for something a little bit more reasonable. But you can come, and our public transportation system is excellent. It's called the T for us here, and just about everyone in our office almost takes it.
And I took it today.
Yeah.
I did.
Accessibility is key.
Yeah.
Toshiba makes a key point. You know, anyone flying into Logan Airport can have access to either the Hines Auditorium
exactly.
or the BCEC
mm-hmm.
in less than 12 minutes from the airport.
That's true.
The first stop out of the new Ted Williams Tunnel, and I got that right. I usually call it the Ted Turner Tunnel. Ted Williams Tunnel is 12 minutes from Logan,
mm-hmm.
and then for
and that's the Silver Line,
and that is
and I rode the Silver Line today.
Yes, and it's it's what $2.
Or less.
Or less.
If you have a Charlie card.
If you have a Charlie card.
Right.
Most of us here have Charlie cards. Mm-hmm. But either way, a visitor, it's $2 one way, and you're literally getting all over the city mm-hmm. and then some.
And then we have this color-coded transportation system, one of the oldest in the country. I believe it is the
oldest.
It is the oldest in the country. So you can literally ride from one end of Boston to the other by paying, a couple of dollars from point A to B. So there are many people in the city who rely on public transportation to get to and from work.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a walking city. I know that was a slogan
a few years ago.
It is a city that is accessible. And what I'm amazed at now are the number of new construction projects that are popping up everywhere. And I've been here almost 30 years. And 30 years ago, there was no new construction anywhere. And now there's new construction all over the place, in the urban areas, in areas that are on the outskirts. It's just amazing how this city continues to grow and build.
It's going through a major renaissance, and that renaissance has brought us from the urban areas to the edge of the city,
mm-hmm.
to the downtown areas, and it's all amalgamated into this whole Boston renewal process.
Right.
There are just a number of things. So a lot of people that say, I've been to Boston, I know Boston.
Come back.
You need to come back and see the new Boston. Because there have been a major of different changes that makes it more accessible.
So true.
I would say even if it's been 5 years that you've been to Boston, you need to come back.
It's time to come back.
It's a lot different.
You're well overdue.
Now you see why I wanted to have my friends on the show today, and I'm just so happy that they have come on. We had Larry Meehan earlier, and we have now are concluding our conversations with Toshiba Bowden, CMP, Certified Meeting Planner, the Director of Housing Services and Special Projects for the Greater Boston Convention and Visitors Bureau, and also Michael Munn, who is the Chief of Staff and Director of Business Development, and also an award-winning Chief of Staff, award-winning in Bermuda. Is it a wonderful
Bahamas.
Award? The Bahamas. Has it happened already?
Nope, it's next week.
Next week he jets off to the Bahamas for a fabulous award. Tell us quickly the award that you're going to receive.
Oh, boy. This is the I was selected as the Apex Award winner for 2010.
Yay!
It's not a solo award. There are other recipients of this award, but I will be representing the Northeast, so I get a significant chunk, I guess.
That's great.
And that was an award that's given annually by the Travel Professionals of Color
mm-hmm.
and Black Meetings and Tourism magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't going at first, but my wife
convinced you.
We are going.
That's right. Margo said, we're not going to stay home and accept this in the mail. No.
It's busy time. I wasn't going because I was boycotting.
Mm.
It's a busy time, but my boss was very supportive and said, you go ahead.
You deserve it. That's right. I mean, you're representing the city and BCEC also. Yes.
Well, I want to add, too, that our convention services team here at the Convention Bureau is also an award-winning team.
Yay!
And our office, we have been the recipients of the Pinnacle Award and Successful Meetings, Convention Bureau of the Year, and all of those various different types of awards. And we've been winning awards for the last, I want to say, 20 years.
Wow.
So
wow.
Each year we kind of, it's one of those things that Pat is very supportive of and wants us to win. And so we go out and provide excellent service. It's a part of our kind of mantra
mm-hmm.
on a daily basis, and every day we come in and we love our job so that we can provide award-winning service to our clients.
That's great. Well, this is why I love working with this group, as I have for so many years, because they just keep getting better and better and better, and you've
had a little bit of a little taste of it. We're going to come back from time to time and give you more information from this table, this conference room table, learning more because, again, every week there's something different going on in the greater Boston area and certainly in Massachusetts. It's just a lot of fun and one where you can learn and explore. And I'll go back to a comment that Larry made earlier as he was quoting Colin Powell, the best education you can get is with travel. You can learn an awful lot with travel. You can learn in your own respective neighborhood, wherever you happen to live. Just going to the library and talking to the librarian about the history of your city. I went to a convention in Attleboro, Massachusetts last week, a science and technology conference, and learned an awful lot having never spent time in Attleboro, which is south of Boston. I've driven past it, but had no idea that major jewelry patents had come out of that area. So, again, our show, Focus on Empowerment, is designed to help you to grow and expand, to empower your life, to learn about those who are around you, to really look at ways where you can become more effective, and we have certainly had a lot of fun doing that today. So I want to thank my guests, Achiba Bowden and Michael Munn and Larry Meehan, for what they have done and what they continue to do for the industry. We'll be back next week with a brand-new show, a new topic, and I'm just excited to be your host. Have a great weekend. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas, and remember, empowerment begins when you believe in yourself.